find a way to look over his shoulder. And if he is dropping stuff, if he is dropping chainsaws and apples and everything he handles, I want to hear about that.
You know, the handle on my chainsaw did fly off last night in the middle of the juggling.
The handle flew off?
Not the juggling handle, the bracing handle off of the chainsaw.
If somebody in the audience got hurt by a handle of a chainsaw, your show would be perfect. That is Michael Godot to a T. Speaking of magicians, we are going to shortly, I don't know exactly when, he's given us a promise, and we're trying to work our schedules out together, but Chris Angel, the wonderful Chris Angel with the very dark black hair, will be coming on the show soon. And once again, we're going to do this thing we're doing with guests, like we're going to do with Bob Corn Revere. We're not going to take phone calls for those guys. We're just going to take emails. And we got a ton of emails for Bob Corn Revere. We have questions that will last the full hour. Easy, simple dimple. But we need some questions for Chris Angel. Because it's going to be, you know, I can ask Chris Angel questions that might be a little bit too esoteric for the audience. And I think Chris Angel's good. You know, I don't watch magic as much as Teller does. Teller does watch magic on TV because Teller is a professional.
Sure.
He takes it very seriously.
Watching
and when there's
the
a new show on, he wants not competition. You know, that's the whole thing. Everything in this country has become jock. You know, there's competition on everything. There's not necessarily competition. I mean, if a magic show on TV, when Chris Angel's show is running on A&E or Shopping Network, wherever it is,
right.
his little jive show, that cute
whatever
little show
that
he does,
show is.
Whatever the hell that show is, that's no competition to us.
When if you fell down, he would kill you and eat you. If you tripped in the yard and he had the chance, he would step on the back of your neck.
You don't have to run faster than Chris Angel. You just have to run faster than David Blaine. That's the rule of fame. Chris Angel, you know, when his shows are on and doing well, our box office goes up, and I'm sure Lance's does too.
Yeah, it's good for all magic.
When there's good magic on TV. Now, there's some magic shows that when they're on TV, our takes actually go down, you know? The numbers go down because the show is so bad that everybody says in the country simultaneously, we don't want to hear anything about the word magic again for a few months. But so write some emails in for Chris Angel. Any sort of questions you have? I imagine, you know, if we were going to have like Eric Mead or Mike Close or Jamie Ian Swiss or one of the really great card magicians on, we get questions about magic. With Chris Angel, I'm thinking you want to go to hair care products. I'm sure he has a lot of information to give you.
Or name choices, perhaps.
Name choices. Chris Angel can't be his real. I mean, how stupid am I? I'll tell you how stupid I am. Penn Jillette is my real name. Okay.
So Penn Angel would be really good.
Yeah, Penn Angel. Yeah. So your show was uneventful last night.
Uneventful,
no
other than the chainsaw handle flying into the audience. You know,
no one hurt. Sadly.
No one was injured.
No CNN coverage of that. Not like a manicore, monocore. What's
monocore?
Monocore ripping
like
your neck
tiger.
Out.
Yeah, no one was injured. Like no strokes.
I went right from the radio show yesterday to a rehearsal over at the Rio Penn and Teller putting in a new bit.
As they want to do.
Well, we do that all the time. We put in so many more new bits than we should. And there's no reason for it. You know, people come to Vegas. They see the show once a year. I think they'd be happy. Every other show in Vegas, you know, if you go to see one of the Cirque du Soleil shows that have been running for 40 years, nothing has changed. Not a lick has changed.
No, eyeball looks a different direction.
And they do fine. They do terrifically. People like those shows. They come and see them. It's great. But we change the show because the people in the circus shows are employees, essentially. They'll change an act around once in a while, put someone else in, get a Russian to do it. But they're essentially employees, and that's their gig. But Teller and I, and this is our show. So, you know, we've got to write.
Boss.
If we're going to write new stuff, we want to write new stuff. So we have to put that in. So we've put, since we've been in Vegas, which is like 10 years since we were on Broadway, we have put in, I think, like 6 hours of new material in an hour and a half show.
You almost have enough material to work a cruise ship.
almost. You can almost do the cruise ship to Australia. So we're putting this new bit that's about misdirection, and it's about, and so we have a duck in it. You know, and I don't not like working with livestock one bit. But the bit calls for a duck. And we're using one of Lance Burton's ducks. Because, you know, Lance Burton is the bird man of Vegas.
Okay.
And because he does all the doves in
sure.
the show. Plus
a lot
ducks.
Of birds.
A lot of birds. He's just bird nutty. And when he comes out on stage, you know, he pulls those birds out of nowhere.
That's why he has to sell them to you. They're just appearing every night. He has thousands and thousands.
I don't even think he's so magnanimous. I don't even think he sold them to us. I think
wow.
he gave us the duck. And a guy named Turtle. Do you know Turtle?
Yeah, I know Turtle.
Yeah. His bird wrangler is named Turtle.
Yes.
Which is starting like a starting an Abbott and Costello routine. And Turtle is just a sweetheart. And kindly, I think Lance gave us his sweetest duck who's not working. The sweetest understudy duck.
Okay.
And this is your straight white. I mean, I don't know about his sexual orientation, but it's your ordinary, what I meant by straight.
Uh-huh.
White duck. Big bill.
Duck.
You know, duck. People know what a duck is. But. The way this thing was going to work, the way Teller designed the, because Teller really runs the whole show, and I think anybody that listens to this radio show is very clear
on that.
Every
yes.
night, every day at the end of this show, people sit there and go, "Woohoo! That Teller's talented. How does he get that guy through a show in Vegas that's successful? Oh my goodness, he must be good." So, Teller's got this whole box. It's a really cool trick.
Right.
And although the premise is really goofy and kind of funny, the trick itself, I think, is going to be a mind blower.
Uh-huh.
But the first part of it, the part of the trick that isn't supposed to fool people, the first fake trick to lead
the
into
the fake trick to lead into the trick.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to vanish a duck. And it's done straight in front of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this duck cage.
Stick of dynamite.
And it has a trap door in the bottom. And the trap door... drops down and delivers the duck, slides the duck into my arms. Many times I didn't catch the duck. Now, the duck falls. Okay,
right.
The distance the duck falls on this chute,
mm-hmm.
A few inches.
Right.
Okay, but it's a slippery stage, so mm-hmm. the duck slides a little bit. Now, you know that in the wild, pure ducks, they fall probably feet, probably 10 feet. They fly, they get up to the sky, and then they fall out and hit Canada, right?
Right, sure.
It's geese, okay, but that's what ducks do, too. Ducks do the same thing. So a duck, dropping a duck from a foot does mm-hmm. not in any way hurt a duck, but we have learned from experience that, man, the whole kind of anthropomorphic thing that's in our country. You remember the PETA show? We did a,
sure.
we did a, on Showtime, we did a Penn and Teller BS on PETA. And mm-hmm. just these models with incredible amounts of money and compassion that doesn't, the compassion doesn't go anywhere near humans in Africa or China
that's right.
or the United States. The compassion
starving
goes strictly...
to heck with them, save the duck.
Yeah,
the duck's falling an inch.
The duck's falling an inch. So we have to look at this, and this is so cynical. I hate this. I wish I were enough of a man to be able to just say, the duck is falling 4 inches. Toughen up. The duck is not being hurt. And moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if that duck goes skitter, 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 it's not even a fall. It's a
quack.
Skitter.
Skitter. Oh, quack.
Squitter, squitter. That we're going to get all these letters from people saying uh-huh. Penn and Teller are torturing a duck. Now,
right.
it doesn't matter that during the show we hang me from a noose. It doesn't matter that we shoot 357 magnums in each other's faces. We're going to be ripping the clothes off a showgirl. You know, we stick fire in a woman's mouth, in my mouth. We do all this stuff to humans, mm-hmm. never a peep, okay? But that duck skitters. So we have to do the magic technology to do the trick that's going to get people screaming, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was simple. That was accomplished, you know, months ago.
Sure, sure.
But getting the duck to not skitter, getting the duck to look like not so much as a feather, is like a feather wouldn't be riffled. And, of course, people say, I know what the people say, I know what they say. They say, well, you know, you choose to put yourself in these environments, but the duck has no choice. Okay, just for a second, let's really anthropomorphize, shall we? The duck has a choice. You can live in the woods with Elmer Fudd shooting your ass, you know, starving, fighting with other ducks for a little kernel of some excrement of some other forest animal.
That's right.
Trying to pick a little bit of corn out, trying to get somehow keep your feathers intact, okay?
Not freeze.
Yeah, that's or
sit
end
in
up
a pond with alligators. I mean,
or be on a farm where you're gonna become some sort of, you know, peak. Or in New York City, do you ever walk through Chinatown? How are those ducks treated? I mean, I always wanted to do a PBS special called Asians and the Disgusting Food They Eat. You know, walking through Chinatown, there are parts of ducks hanging and tanned, okay, that are just, a duck doesn't want that. This duck has a nice little pen, little kiddie pool backstage. He has affection. He has other ducks. There's an understudy duck that will keep him company. That is the best gig in the world. It's the gig you chose. He's on stage less than you are.
My dream.
Okay. So we're spending all this technology, the greatest magic minds in the world, because Teller's up there, Nate Santucci, who works for us, is up there, you know, Zeke, Michael, all the guys. These are brilliant, magical guys. Johnny Thompson, who works with Chris Angel, who you can write into what is it?
Penradio@gmail.com.
Penradio@gmail.com. Two N's in pen. Right in for Chris Angel. Chris Angel's consultant, the biggest magic mind in all the world, Johnny Thompson, is working on this. And all we're trying to do, we've got Teller appearing out of nowhere.
Right.
We've got a gorilla appearing out of nowhere. We got a showgirl's clothes being all ripped off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just down to the minimum we can get away with. And that's all easy. That's simple.
Right.
But the duck not having a moment of skitter, 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 skitter. And I'll tell you, when this was, if you think I'm nuts, and you should.
I do.
We did a bit on Saturday Night Live in the bad year,
yes,
when we were on,
right,
the worst year of Saturday Night Live's history, when Penn and Teller were featured. We did a bit with cutting a snake in half.
Yeah.
Okay? And we had a snake, you know, like a 5 or 6 foot snake. And then we had poultry shears. And we did a cut and restored rope. You know, you cut and restore rope.
Sure.
But we thought it'd be hipper to do a cut and restored snake.
Sure.
It's all wiggly and stuff.
And
of course it's a trick, right? We just you know, did this cut.
A little piece of fake snake? Is that what you had?
Yeah, a little piece of fake snake, and it was on, I think it was on a pole.
Where did you get fake snake?
I believe we got fake snake. We tried to use eel, and it's impossible to kill an eel to use it. So we ended up using, I think, some pork sausage that Mark Garland, who worked for us now, and now works on, I think, Law and Order, Mark Garland painted like a snake. He was painting sausage.
Snake on a sausage?
Yeah, that was his job. His job was painting sausage as a snake, painting snake sausage. Which I think if the FCC thought that meant anything else, if they said that's a double entendre, it would be fine. But by snake sausage, we mean
snake sausage.
Sausage painted as
snake.
We're
so uninteresting and uncreative. That we didn't think that was some sort of innuendo. We actually mean snake sausage.
Yeah, sometimes X equals X. So we did this bit, and it was a really great bit. Teller did all the handling on it, of course, and I was just
talking. Well, it was great.
I was just talking it. And he takes the poultry shears, and he cuts the snake in half, and then we restore the snake. So the snake is totally okay at the end of the bit. And I would like to add, it's a snake! Cheese and rice, it's a snake! That's what it is, okay? It's not like it's cute. It's not fluffy. It doesn't look like my daughter or Bruce Valanche going down an escalator, you know? This is not a cute thing. It's a snake. And Lorne Michaels got letters from people, like PETA people, complaining
from other
about
snakes.
The bit, saying, listen, we know it was a trick. I mean, we had this letter up in our office for a while. We know it was a trick, but it could give people ideas. That's what they said. That was the idea. It could give people ideas. And that postulates such a hatred for the American people that you picture two guys, sitting in their underwear watching Saturday Night Live in some state that, you know, the liberals don't respect. You know, the liberals, how they hate middle America.
Middle Americans.
So whatever this L.A. person thinks is what they would call Hooterville, you know, South Carolina or something. That's what they picture, okay? Or Massachusetts, where I'm from.
Sure.
Western Massachusetts, we were considered to be rednecks by Hollywood and New York and stuff.
Uh-huh.
They're picturing this person that writes this letter is postulating a couple guys sitting around, maybe having a couple beers, certainly Brill Cream enters into it,
sure,
watching TV, and Penn and Teller come out, and first they postulate that people want to emulate Penn and Teller. Like they see us on TV, you know, and they don't want to be, you know, Grissom from CSI, you know. They don't want to be Johnny Depp, you know. Who they want to be is Penn and Teller. And they go, ooh, look at those guys. They are just so boss and so cool. I want to be just like them. Come on, Lester. Let's go cut a snake in half. And they grab the poultry shears, and people with this little imagination, okay, first of all, are going to have poultry shears, okay?
Right.
And it's hard to cut a snake in half with a buck knife. And second, they got to find a snake.
Finding a snake is not easy.
Saturday Night Live's on at, 11:30 at night? You know, we were
snakes are in bed.
It was the worst. It was the worst. The worst year of the show, right? Uh-huh. And we were probably later on in the show because nobody, not because they're saving it to get, but just they don't care. You know, sure. We got to lead with Randy Quaid. You know? Ooh, he's funny. Lead with Randy Quaid. So we're in the second half of the show. So 12:15 at night, Penn and Teller come on, cut a snake in half, and PETA is worried that two guys are going to go, that looks like a damn fine idea. Come on, Mike. Let's go cut us a snake in half. And then a snake dies, which is, I mean, how horrible is that?
People hunt snakes for fun.
All the time.
People always kill snakes.
See a snake, scream snake, and kill it. Screaming the word snake is usually reason enough to kill something. We're going to be on more, surprisingly enough. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to come back and take some phone calls. Phone number is 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. 866-313-FREE. Let's talk about snakes and Herbie Hancock. Penn Jillette, Michael Goodall, Vintage Nudes Studio, Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to the whole snake-filled United States of America. Don't you be slicing those snakes now. Don't you be slicing them. This is Penn Jillette, Las Vegas, Nevada, with Michael Goodall on Free FM. And we just had a big, big breakthrough for the show. This is very exciting for us. We got an email from Lance Burton, who says he has set his clock radio to wake up to hear our show, and he would like to quote me on saying his show is, I'm not just, Lance, I don't just say adequate, I'm going to say perfectly adequate.
I want to see
a billboard. I bet you, Lance, I bet you dinner at Hamada that you have not got the guts to put perfectly adequate Penn Jillette on any billboard anywhere. Even use those ones that you pay like 29 cents for that are like over where a tourist has never seen. You know, Lance Burton has billboards in like the coolest places. And I talked to Crasher, who runs our office, and says, can we have some more like billboards out where like I would see them driving? And Crasher goes, Penn, we're not trying to get you to come to the show. But Lance, you know, I think Lance maybe plays to a lot of locals and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so he has them. It's good. It's maybe one of those billboards.
It's a popular show. People come back often.
We do. They do. It's a good show. It's a perfectly adequate show. I'm not going to change. You're not going to trick me. Last night at our show, man, first of all, it was very exciting because my wife came to the show last night. Oh, we're going to take some calls. If we get any interesting ones, we're going to take some calls at 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE on Free FM. That's Free, F-R-E-E, 3733. So last night, my wife came to the show, which is a really big deal.
That is a big deal. Because
my wife hates the show.
Number one.
No. That's, but my wife is pregnant with our second child, she has to be on bed rest. From medical complications. So she is lying in bed every two hours and then up for a half an hour, which is also known as lazy. That's the condition she has called lazy. And she came to the show last night, and she was in the VIP row lying down to watch the show, which was just terrific. And then we found out, and this is why, you notice when the music came in, I usually talk about how great the bass player is. How great jazz it is, how swinging it is, because it's our theme. There was no mention of that today.
No mention of that today, yes. Something happened?
Yeah, something happened. Herbie Hancock was at the show last night.
Did he kill you?
No, he didn't kill me. But my wife, you know, pregnant and barefoot, of course, I keep her barefoot all the time, chased Herbie Hancock to bring him backstage. And I didn't know he was in the audience.
Right.
And he's backstage. We're hanging out. We hung out for, about, I guess, like an hour afterward. And Mike Jones, who's the piano player in the Penn and Teller show, and a monster jazz piano player, real Dave McKenna, real Oscar Peterson, hardcore bebop style, is just, you know, fainting. Herbie Hancock is there.
Sure.
Herbie Hancock, like any genius, great guy, is fabulous, polite, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And all the people, you've found this out in show business,
yes.
The people that are really snotty are people like Gallagher. You know, but the people who are really great.
I wasn't going to use any names, but yes.
I mean,
the people who you find to have less than perfect skills are, very unpleasant.
Yeah, so Gallagher has an attitude. Herbie Hancock is like complimenting me my bass playing.
Well, yeah, see?
You know, he's played with like everybody, you know.
Uh-huh.
Niels and he's played with, you know, Ray Brown, and he's telling you have a good day. You got a good time. You know, he's telling you like the nice stuff. You say, oh, your shirt fit nicely. You know, he's telling me that kind of stuff about my bass playing. And
the costumes were great.
And And Herbie Hancock is just so sweet. My wife brings me backstage. And the great thing was that Mike Jones said to Herbie Hancock, if I'd have known you were in the audience, I would have played better. And I said, if I'd have known you were in the audience, I would not have played at all. There's someone on the...
You should fire Jonesy now.
I have a few people on the phone. Let's take a phone call from Ernesto. How about that? Ernesto, you on the phone there, boss? Hey, boss.
Hey, on the phone, Ernesto.
How you doing, man?
It's great talking to you again.
Again? I know you?
Not personally, but I've met you a couple of times. Every time I go to a show, I've been a big fan since the SNL days, and I remember that trick, and that was what turned me on to you guys.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And you didn't run out and cut a snake in half, did you?
I'd rather not answer that.
And where are you living? Where are you living, boss?
New York City, New York. The Garden Spot of the World, Brooklyn, USA.
There you go. There you go. What do you want to talk about?
Well, what you were just talking about, the snake. You mentioned about how the PETA people got all up in arms. Now, for the few people who aren't who don't have Showtime and don't know the episode of BS that you guys did, just tearing PETA a new one.
we kind of sort of did that.
I loved it.
Thank you.
if you could just, do you have any new statistics other than the ones that you guys talked about on that episode?
No, you know, we were so shocked. I mean, the PETA show was the one where, you know, we get the idea to do the show on BS, and then researchers do a lot of the real work. And when the researchers came back and laid it on Godot and Teller and me, I remember Teller watching the first rough draft and going, we've got to check the facts. This can't be true. Yeah. It can't be true. They're killing animals and doing this kind of stuff. And PETA, you know... when we do BS, we get people that write very, very angry, hostile, not marketplace of ideas letters, but, you know...
Shut up.
But also, you know, some threats. Mm-hmm. And I want to say in defense of PETA that although I have found some of their tactics, and although they've been discussed in some government things as being a terrorist group, I was very happy with PETA. The letters we got from PETA were marketplace of ideas, polite letters.
No one threatened our
lives. We disagreed. No one threatened our lives. And that, I can't say that for all the people we've done shows on. So PETA actually represented themselves very well. But we haven't got...
The UFO guys threatened your life from that episode?
The UFO guys did not. No, the UFO guys are so far above that. One of the people, not threatening our lives, because I'm not going to mention who that was, because you all know. You all know who it would be that would threaten our lives. You know, and there's no reason to say it.
A little moral high ground thing.
But the ones that have, you know, a higher power on their side. But the ones that really wrote the most letters were the chiropractors.
Yes.
Really?
Chiropractors. And the funniest thing about that was we did this whole show on chiropractic on the Showtime show, the BS show, the show whose name we can't say. And we got these letters, first of all, attacking us. And then after the show, there were about 60 people one night who came to the Penn & Teller show at The Real. And they're coming out, and this really attractive woman comes over and says, can I talk to you for a second, Penn? And I'm like, yes, yes. And she says, I'm a chiropractor. And it's like, uh-oh. And she said, we came to the show here tonight, 60 of us, to tell us that chiropractors will be boycotting Penn and Teller from now on. Now, this is a deep misunderstanding of the word boycott.
They bought 60 tickets to 60 tell tickets. You that?
So that's something like, what? What's that? Is that like...
$6,000?
Pretty close to $6,000.
This is a show at The Real. I know. I spent, what was it, $90 a pop. Hey, you made out on that boycott.
Yeah, we made out really well. And I don't think that 60 chiropractors have ever before come to the show. So, you know, when you've given us all this credit, bro, about us fighting, you know, it turns out that people seem to either agree with us or they're polite or they do very misguided boycotts. Very misguided. So thanks a lot for calling, Ernesto.
Hey, my pleasure, Penn. I'm looking forward to season four.
Yeah, season four, we're starting up. We've been writing. We got two of those already written, and we start taping them in February, don't we?
Yep.
Oh, we're in
very
such
soon.
Trouble.
We're dead.
We're in such trouble.
Way behind.
Let me see what other calls. Yes, we go right to another
Fred
call.
Fred on line 6 wants help naming his son.
Okay.
And I believe that to be a field of your expertise.
Okay, go ahead. Fred,
hey,
you there?
Yeah, hey, Penn, how's it going? been a very big well, fan boss, of yours well. For years.
Thank you so much, man.
I've been watching you since, and I seen thing with the Muppets back on. You did a little,
thank
little
you,
hiding
man.
It there. What I'm looking for, I guess, my son is going to be born. Well, his due date's February 2nd.
Oh, congratulations. Is this your first kid?
This is my second. I've got a year and a half old right now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're close to that. You know, my wife and I are having two kids a year apart, and the kind of ethnic slur about that is they're called Irish twins. Have you heard that term? When kids are that close together, like within a year or so, a year and a half. What's your first kid named?
We named him Joey.
Joey, okay, well, that's
his name. Joey James. That's Joey, not Joseph, just Joey, I named him.
Wow, that's cool.
Real cool. Yeah.
Very hip.
Because, Godot, your
kid's Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, Joseph, you call him Joey, don't you?
I call him Joey.
Yeah, and what are do you know the sex? You must know the sex of the...
yeah, it's going to be a boy. I was thinking, actually, I was talking to my wife about naming him, because she likes to name Brian. I was thinking Brian Penn. After you.
What a kind thing.
I think Michael Penn.
But I got to tell you something about names, and this is something I feel really strongly about. Everybody that has like a normal name, like, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry,
like me,
thinks that if you name a kid a nutty name, that it's some sort of cruel, horrible thing. And everybody I know with a goofy name, I know Tripp Hawkins, I know Carr, a good friend of mine named Carr Hagerman, C-A-R-R. My name is Penn, that's my real name. My sister's name is Valda. You know, all the people I know that have really goofy names love them. It's wonderful to be in a classroom or a work situation and they can say your name and you know it's you. So I just want to put in a bid for you, man, is really, Fred, really consider going with a goofier name, a name that is unique, at least in any group of 100 people. Because I think that it makes you feel so wonderful and so special. And yes, with the name Penn, all through grade school, they called me a girl. They called me Penny. They did all that stuff. But you know, kids are going to be cruel no matter what. If your name is Dave, kids are going to be cruel. So all I'm saying, Fred, I'm not going to tell you what to name your kid. I could not be more flattered, boss, that you're considering Penn for a middle name. But I got to tell you, consider going a little nuts on the name.
Captain.
What's that?
Captain.
Captain. Captain is a great name. Popeye is a great name.
Popeye
is a great name. Captain is a great name. Baloo. You wanted to name your first kid Baloo.
I wanted Joey to be named Baloo.
What a great name. But thank you so much, Fred, and best of luck to you. Man, that is flattering. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back, maybe take some more phone calls, maybe chat. We'll do whatever the hell we want to because we are on Free FM! Woohoo! You know that bass playing isn't bad. Kirby was right. Yeah. I got good time. I
he
can play the bass. Yeah, he was. with his bass player that Herbie Hancock said was perfectly adequate. Good time. Good time. You know, yesterday, after we finished up, our good friend Steve Dahl, you know, one of my heroes in radio in Chicago, one of my favorite cities. I have to say that because Tony Fitzpatrick is in Chicago. If I don't say it's one of my favorite cities, he and Teddy will come over and kick my ass. But Teddy V and Tony Fitzpatrick, a little shout out to you and Max and Gabby and Michelle and the whole family there. He was making fun of us. He was
Steve Dahl was making fun of us?
Yeah. He was using your name, too, which I love. Because you're no longer one
career.
Of the guys that writes on BS.
That's right.
I think he was making fun of your giggle. That constant Godot giggle.
Yeah,
he was going, hi, I'm Ben Gillette. I live in a prison. There's no God. That's a show for today. And I only heard it over the phone, but it was great. But they're saying names. So somewhere, you know what I mean? We're hitting hundreds of people are listening to this show. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds of people.
I think that's generous.
There will be Michael Godot fans.
That seems so unlikely.
Say, you know, oh, there will be.
We love jugglers.
No, not jugglers.
Oh, not jugglers. Radio personalities.
You, not radio personalities. Not that, but not which, but rather that. An individual. Not a V, not an M. You know, this is Michael Godot, they're fans of. Not even a radio personality, a hero.
I'm going to take your word on this.
Okay. And for those of you who are already developing, I hope right now there's a shrine page going up somewhere. Somebody, if you know, all the good shrine pages are taken. So if you're listening here and you're learning HTML and you want to get good at it, why not a Michael Godot?
Yeah.
Do you even own MichaelGodot.com?
I do own MichaelGodot.com. Yeah.
Well, they could take something else, MikeyGodot.com. Or Godot is God.com or Godot no
I
God.
Own that too.
Anyway, if you want to do that, if you're a big Michael Godot fan, Godot just told me, very humbly, while we're reading the papers, getting ready for the show, because we do prepare for the show.
We do. We don't touch any of that stuff, but we are ready should we need to.
Right. And he told me that you think you're on TV tonight.
I think I'm on TV tonight. I believe I am on the Bobby Flay TV show this evening.
And what are you doing with Bobby
Flay? I'm barbecuing shark tacos.
Are they good, shark tacos?
Yeah, they turned out great. I grilled shark tacos and showed my barbecue cover.
No, yes. Yeah, see, what you need to know, for those of, if you're starting the Michael Godot Shrine webpage, which you should be, you should right now be just HTMLing your little fingers off doing that. You know, born in Louisiana, simple swamp boy, coon ass to San Francisco, son of a forest ranger.
Yeah, it was going so well, and then he got this radio show. And...
juggler, street juggler, part of fly-by-night jugglers in San Francisco. San Francisco boy, Louisiana boy, bayou, swamp, sophisticated city. He's everything.
I'm a local to everyone.
Yeah, he's everything. extreme sport guy, yep. Hang glider, ultralight, snowboard. You were snowboarding before all the kids were snowboarding.
Yes, I did.
You were snowboarding back when snowboarding meant just like a 2x4.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? When it wasn't even a board.
I bought a crate and nailed my feet to it.
Nailed your feet to it. You got to watch this Bobby Flay show, because Michael Godot, besides being a juggler and besides being on the show, is kind of a Ralph Cramden kind
yes,
of guy. You're an inventor.
I am an inventor. That's that is so generous. Again, I can't thank you enough.
You get ideas.
I get ideas.
You get ideas. And one of the ideas Godot had one day when we were cycling together,
yes.
I guess you had the idea before that, but that's when you really pushed it to me. You really pitched it. Oh, Petab, I got an idea. You're going to love
this. I'm going to be rich.
Oh, fabulously wealthy. I'm going to be so rich I'll never talk to you again, which is always the subtext of all your crazy ideas. I want to be rich enough to never talk to you
again.
I will
move as far from this desert as I can.
You know, and then we'll get one call in, you know, 10 years from now, one call in from Michael Godot in Venice.
That's right.
Saying, I used to be on the show.
Buongiorno, anyway. Mr. Gillette.
But Michael Godot has this great invention. Invention, design.
Invention, yeah.
And you want to pimp it?
I'm selling at almost 2 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's got, he invented barbecue covers, you know, covers for the barbecue that look funny.
Yeah.
Funny barbecue covers.
Funny barbecue covers. That's.
Well, tell a little bit about that.
You know, I make a barbecue cover that looks like a cow and a UFO and a chili pepper. BBQZoo.com. Barbecue Zoo. That's our ad.
That's the whole ad.
That's it.
And so Bobby Flay, Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay, who's a
famous barbecue guy.
Huge.
Terrific restaurants.
How great a country is it when there can be a famous barbecue
famous
guy?
Barbecue.
You know, when there were 3 networks, you know.
Yeah, there was no time for Bobby Flay.
No, there was no barbecue guy. But now, I mean, I'm one of these big fans. I think the more populated we get, the more people on the planet, the better off we are. We should at least double the population, because the more cool people you have. When you have enough people in a country, you know, in you know, 100 years ago, you couldn't get famous on 1/4 of a percent of the population.
Right.
But now you can really have a Catholic,
an empire.
Catholic gay bass fisherman's network. Right. So there certainly is room for Bobby Flay and Michael Godot.
He has 3 TV shows.
Three?
3 shows running concurrently.
And which one are you on?
I don't know. Barbecue America.
Barbecue America. And is it on
and
tonight?
I think it's on tonight. You know, I looked on the website and tried to figure it out, and I don't know if it is.
And this is on NBC, CBS?
10 o'clock, yeah. Yeah, CBS? Food Network.
Oh, Food Network. Okay. Still good. Still good.
F-O-O-D.
And what did you do? Did you pretend for Bobby Flay that you were? This is something you do all the time?
I did, yeah. I said, you know, we in Vegas have these fish barbecues daily. My friend Mr. Gillette was busy tonight, and so these other 2 people came.
Because you know, Vegas is famous for its fish.
It's famous for its fish.
Sure, sure. Good fish.
400 miles from the nearest natural body of water.
And it's a tradition here. You know, a lot of
bad
times...
Fish is have the tradition here.
Have you heard the bootlegs from like 1962, 63, when the whole rat pack are out in the middle of the desert having a big fish taco barbecue?
Yeah, the clam bake.
Elvis is in there, too. It's a great thing. And so you did this. Who came? Did Lance come?
No.
Lance didn't come?
No, Lance didn't come. You didn't come. None of the bosses came. Mickey Lynn came.
Oh, good, because it was free food.
It was free food, exactly. Mickey Lynn and a lot of jugglers. A lot of jugglers showed up because the food was free.
Was Scotty there?
No, Scotty was out of town.
Because I talked to Scotty last night. Another juggler. It's just all jugglers.
Clowns. There were a lot of clowns there.
Yeah. Well, you used to be in the... See, for those of you who were doing the Michael Goudeau Shrine page, how long were you a clown with Ringling Brothers?
I was a Ringling Clown for 2 years, yeah.
2 years?
2 years I was on the road.
Which unit?
Blue Show. Blue Show Ringling Brothers Clown.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I loved it.
Living on the train?
I loved living on the train.
Uh-huh.
And I lived in a 3-by-6-foot room, and I loved it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could reach everything from bed, which is perfect for a lazy person like me. I didn't have to get up.
But not lazy. You do, what, 11 shows a week, right?
Yeah.
11 3-hour shows.
Oh, never mind. Damn.
BS.
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 Yeah.
But how
the good news is I have one fewer job now.
How long were you in makeup a week?
About 80 hours.
80 hours a week?
80 hours a week in clown makeup. Yeah,
and
13 3.5-hour shows a week. 11 costume changes a show. Yeah. I was happy to leave that job, actually, as much as I loved it. I could finally get the smell of elephants out of my clothing.
Wow. Yeah, I went to Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey, the greatest show on earth, Clown College.
Yes, you did as well.
And I did not take a contract. I did not go on the road as a
You
clown.
Missed out.
I missed out on that part of my minimum
wage.
Well,
you're a little taller than the actual room.
you gave me a piece of information that I did not have when they offered me the contract. And I don't want to get too, like, morning shock jock zoo. If we're going to be morning zoo, we're going to be barbecue zoo. But you told me that there are women, attractive women, who have a fetish for men in clown makeup. Did you tell me that?
I did tell you that, yes.
You going to tell me more?
I can't elaborate on that. No, I'd hate to ruin that secret pack that I have.
But you told me that you
women
had...
Women show up at the circus looking for clowns.
And you had sex with complete strangers who didn't care at all about you.
Does this have to go on the website?
This is part of the shrine. You had sex. You said you'd walk out behind where the circus was, right? What city was it? Maybe she's listening. Maybe she'll call in.
You know, I don't know. It was, you know.
Was it more than once?
I was young. It was wild time, you know.
You're just a young guy.
It was the, you know,
a lot of makeup on your face.
Pre-STD big problem days, you know, and we were wild clowns. You know, I was 19. I had $100 a week. If I could get lunch out of a girl, I was going on a date.
But this is a complete stranger, right?
Yes.
Did you ever know her name?
I'm sure I did at the time, yes.
Okay, but how long was the entire relationship?
Several hours.
Oh, you are so cool. And then the whole time you were in clown makeup?
Yes.
With a wig?
That's true. That would be the end of it. With the wig. The wig is too itchy. I have to say, I draw the line somewhere in... my sexual activities, and the wig has to come off.
So it was you with your regular hair, the floppy Michael Goudeau hair.
Yes.
And then you had your big clown makeup on.
Red nose.
And yep. Were you having sex in the little train car? 3-by-6?
Well, you know, the funny thing about the train car, if you had a date, the bed folds up into the wall, so... At the point when things looked as though they would progress, you had to somehow talk the woman into leaving the room so that you could fold down the bed, which, of course, alerted every other clown on the clown car. There are 30 clowns on this train car. If you were standing in the hallway just chatting with a woman while you folded down the bed, it didn't...
That's the life.
That's the life.
That's the life.
And
maybe she'll call in. Maybe some of Michael Goudeau, because they don't even know it was Michael Goudeau, right?
No,
they
no,
just
that's
think,
the good news.
They just said, "What'd you do yesterday, Sally? Oh, I was screwing some clown." And that clown, people, was Michael Goudeau.
Man.
If you have any questions for Chris Angel, especially about Michael Goudeau's sex life, we're going to have Chris Angel on very soon, and we want to have a lot of questions for him. We're going to take those mostly in Gmail. We don't want to take them on the phone. We're going to read them to Chris. So if you got anything to say to Chris, write to us, Penn Radio, P-E-N-N Radio, @gmail.com. If you want to make it easy for Michael Goudeau, who answers all the emails, so you women who really dig clowns or the person working on the Shrine website, that's where to write to Michael Goudeau. But if you're writing specifically a question for Chris Angel, put Chris Angel in the it's
in the heading.
C-R-I-S-S. Keep that in mind. Who was the guy? Fred. Yeah, Fred.
Fred.
Fred. Keep in mind that you could name your kid Chris.
Chris Angel.
C-R-I-S. Chris Angel, whatever your last name is.
We're getting email from clowns right already by the hundreds.
Are we, is it unkind mail? Or are the clowns well, happy that we're finally showing them as the studly job that clowns have always been?
Yeah, we got one from a fellow named Patrick Cashin, a friend of mine, actually, says those ladies are still out there, and he calls them cloupies. Cloupies, I can't tell by this.
Cloupies, wouldn't it be cloupies?
Because
it's clown and groupie cloupies. And how often does he partake of the cloupies?
He said a perfectly adequate amount.
Well, you know, we're now on the radio, so maybe what if there must be radio groupies, right, that want us to be wearing the head. Can you imagine if you wore headphones and clown makeup? Can you imagine that the Venn diagram just gets enormous for the people that just enormous? Can you imagine women that only want to have sex with, or men and women only want to have sex with people who are wearing clown makeup and headphones simultaneously?
Well, that's what you're back to, you know. The country's gotten large enough that there is that subset.
This is Ben Gillette and Michael Goudeau. There seems to be some confusion about the time right here. So we're going to keep talking and going. The music will come up at the right time. We'll just kind of be done. There's a lot of topics. I really want to talk about the Pat Robertson talking about Sharon thing. Sharon Gravely. Everybody's worried about this chick, Sharon Gravely. Sharon. Because, you know, Pat Robertson said a nutty thing. He said that Sharon, his stroke was because he was trying to give Israel away from God.
Yeah.
And I don't want to attack that because there's this thing that people do that get really snarky and smarmy where they take the complete and utter whack jobs and they attack them.
Yeah,
and he is not speaking. Pat
he doesn't
Robertson
represent the Christians, I don't
doesn't
think.
Doesn't represent anybody. Pat Robertson didn't even represent himself. You know,
not
he just
well.
Said anything that'll get him some sort of headline somewhere. I mean, this is just, he's like, you know, Ann Coulter and Janine Garofalo. They're the exact same people. They say, you know, they say whatever pops into their head that they think will be provocative. I'm one of those people, too. The difference is I believe it. And maybe they do, too. Maybe Pat Robertson really believes. But does Pat Robertson believe that everyone that has a stroke has somehow slighted God? Or I guess that's the original sin. Isn't that it? No, that's not original sin. How can you say that? I mean, I don't care at all about his insensitivity to Sharon. Because Sharon is a man that has plenty of credibility. He's an international leader and hero. He doesn't need Pat Robertson. What I worry about is the person that has a stroke and wonders if that's God punishing them. They didn't give away Israel. PenRadio@gmail.com. Questions for Chris Angel. We'll be back Monday with another big show from Las Vegas, Nevada, Vintage Nude Studios. I'm Penn Jillette, and you can go to the Michael Goudeau Shrine on the web. We just don't have to know where it is yet. Herbie Hancock said, I swung.